Now, if you have never been present when I'm sharing the word, every preacher has their own unique style. And if you are disappointed because Kerry has a unique style that's all his own, like I said, he will be back. And bear with me in the meantime. We ready to go up there, brother? All right. I would like to take my text from Luke 15, verse 32. Luke 15, verse 32. And if you're a person who likes to follow along, I'm going to disappoint you because when I get rolling on scripture, I don't know if there's anybody to keep up with. So just buckle up and try to hold on tight. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. That's Luke 15, verse 32. I would like to take that and preach on a message entitled Homecoming. Homecoming. Brother Rob, would you please pray over the sharing of God's word?
Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just invite your presence in each one of our hearts. We ask that you please anoint Nathan to bring forward your words, Father. But give us ears of understanding and hearts that are open and willing to not only receive what you have for us, but also to go forth and put it into practice, Father. And we just thank you for this time. And just again, we just ask for your presence to be with each one of us. And we just thank you for your word, Lord. We pray these things in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, brother. And I will ask in advance if you forgive me if I become emotional. But while Brother Darrell was here, what a blessing time we had. We had church on Wednesday night and Thursday night and Friday night. And it was just a really tremendously blessed time. And during that time, our family was dealing with our elderly dog, Dolly. We'd had her for 15 years, and she was declining in health. And we lost her the Saturday after Darrell had been here all that time. And, you know, it was, whew. Brother Darrell asked the state of the family, and I said, well, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Well, brother, you're quoting Job there over the loss of your dog. I said, yes, and this is the verse. Job 1, verse 21 reads, and naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, I'm not trying to compare my grief to that of Job, but that is the proper response when hard things come your way. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Was it hard? You better believe it. Our dog was with us for 15 years. She was always underfoot. Always. You would turn and trip over her half the time. Hopefully you didn't have a platter full of beans or something because it would be everywhere. Our daughter spilled soup not too long ago because the dog was always right there underfoot. She would sneak up behind you when you weren't looking. She would be there when you turned around and trip over her. You'd get up in the middle of the night and go to use the restroom. And I got into the habit of her being there. I would pull out my cell phone and click it, you know, so I had the light. I could see where she was. But I didn't trip over going to the restroom in the middle of the night, you know. So you'd think, wow, that's... You know, it was. I found myself in the middle of the night, and I grab for my phone and get sad. She's not there. My wife, you know, blessing that she is, she told me just now, she says, you need to stop saying dear Lord so much. You're praying, leading prayers. Why? She can say that to me because she's my helpmate. She really is. And she's you say dear Lord a lot. So I need to work on that. But my wife, in this time of grief and loss, you know, she cleaned up all of Dolly's toys and her bed and, like, you know, cleaned the carpet and, you know, did everything she could to clean up and help us to move on from this loss, you know. And I think we made it, what, about half a week? Was it a week? Almost 2 weeks, not quite 2 weeks. She said, what if I go to the pound? I could go to the pound. And I could look at a dog, and, you know, our daughter Faith, she really loves dogs, and she's willing to pay the pound fee. We could just go look. Just we'll take a look and see, you know. And I said, no. No, No. It's too expensive. We don't need another expense. And I didn't say it at the time, but emotionally, I'm not ready. I'm still drained. I don't want a dog. We can live without a dog for a little while. She wasn't too happy. So the next day she asked me. And I said, no. And God started dealing with my heart about it. And I said yes. It was hard. I don't even begin to understand. It was hard. I want another dog. Can't replace the dog we lost. She was irreplaceable. So I told Bridget she could go and pick out a dog at the pound. Right? And so she took our daughters and they went to the pound and looked at some dogs. And she was all ready to adopt a dog. And they said, nope, we cannot allow you without your husband to adopt a dog. Your husband must be a part of the process. You know, I don't want a dog. I don't want to go to the pound. It's okay, fine, I get off work. I'll go to the pound with you and we will adopt a dog. Have you ever been to the pound? Have you, you know, we had pound dogs growing up, but I never went to the pound myself to pick out the dogs because I don't think I can handle the emotions of, you know, being around all these poor dogs. But they said that I had to be a part of the process. So we get there, we wait, they say we're going to look at this dog, and Bridget already had a favorite picked out, and we're going to look at this dog and, you know, get my input because I had to be part of the process. So they take us through a couple of doors and into the, like, where the kennels are, and like every dog in there is yipping and happy and excited to see you. And I mean, there was these dogs that were jumping up both sides of the kennel, like doing loops and trips. And I was like, wow, these dogs are sure excited, you know. And we walked past all of them to the last dog in the row, and this dog isn't making any noise at all. She's excited. She's happy to see us. I think she was most excited to see the leash in the, you know, the kennel keeper's hand. You know, she, you know, like, I'm going to get out of the cage. You know, so, but she didn't, no barking, no nothing. You know, kind of odd. You know, every other dog is making noise. She's not. And they put her on the leash. They take her around this area so that, you know, you can get her out of the you know, cage that she's in. And they got her into like this free area. It's like this big cage. They let the dogs run loose in so you get a chance to play with them or something, you know. They bring the dog in there and they let her loose. And she is running from here to there and ignoring us as completely as possible. Like, we do not exist. There's dogs walking along here and there, and she's following the fence, looking at them. Ooh, look, there's a dog I can play with. And, you know, Bridget tried to get this dog's attention, you know, throw a ball for her and stuff, and he was like, what? What do you want me to do with that? And so the pound lady, she's trying to make the sell or whatever. She's trying to get this dog adopted. She's like, we may try a different toy. Get a different toy. So she went and grabbed like this little rope thing with a ball on it. Oh, and the dog, all over that. We're grabbing it and tugging and growling and stuff. And she was having fun playing with it. But she would like work her way up the thing, like trying to get it out of the person's hand. Like, be careful there. Woo. Is Nathan impressed with his dog? Not impressed at all. I'm thinking, that's not Dolly. Dolly would have been over here. She would have been like wagging her tail and happy to see us. This dog doesn't even know we exist. And Bridget was full of emotion and so happy to see that dog. It's a pretty dog. It's a pretty dog. And she looked at me, the pound lady said, well, it's about time. I mean, if you're going to make a decision, you got to make a decision. And Bridget said, this is the dog I want. And I said, okay. Let's adopt a dog. You know, we went and signed the paperwork, loaded her up in the van, and took her home. Before my wife went to the pound, she had put out Dolly's toys, put out her bed again. She was so happy to have a dog coming home. You know, and so we open the door and the dog runs in there. First thing she does, she runs over to Dolly's bed, She lays down and luxuriates around in it, rolling around like, oh, this is the best bed in the whole world. And I'm thinking, it's a good bed. I'm glad there's a dog on it. Well, this dog, after she got off the bed, she went around, explored the house, and she looked outside, and she played with a few of the toys, but she was just overwhelmed with being out of the cage, I could tell. She was so happy to be not in the cage for a little while. And during the course of the afternoon, I went upstairs, and I came back down the stairs, and as I was coming down the stairs, she was at the bottom of the stairs looking at me like, stairs? Wow. I could just see it, like this dog's face, like her eyes were as big as saucers. Like, that is the strangest thing I have ever seen. Stairs. And you know, my kids, they got dog treats and they tried to lead her up the stairs. And she got up to the top of the stairs and she was like trembling. She was afraid. And she went back down the stairs, like, I don't want to go up there. So, a little odd, you know. It was Dolly, she wanted to be with us wherever we were. She had to go up the stairs, even though she was old. She went up the stairs to be with us. You kind of expect that out of a dog. That's the dog we had. So we leave the dog downstairs. We're upstairs in bed. Bridget said she didn't even sleep that night because she was worried about the dog being downstairs. I mean, we don't know this dog. It's a strange dog. What's she doing down there? She might be in distress. She could be in trouble. She could be causing trouble. She could be eating the couch. Right. Now, I wake up at like 2 in the morning. I had slept for a few hours. I often wake up in the middle of the night, so I'm going to go downstairs and read, right? So I find my cell phone, I find a book, and then go down the stairs. And my wife had left the light on in the hallway so the dog wasn't completely in the dark. You know, she left the light on, a night light for her, so to speak. So I come around the corner, and there's this dog on the couch. And she's looking at me like, but she doesn't move. She's just like, you know, on the couch. And there, next to the couch, is my favorite chair where I like to sit in the middle of the night and read, right? Down in the cushions of the thing, there's this tennis ball. Like the dog had buried the toys around the house so, like, you know, nobody could take them from her. Well, I walk over there. I'm not upset or anything. I wanted to sit down there. I didn't want to smash the tennis ball into the cushions of my favorite chair. I grabbed the tennis ball and I tossed it over to the dog bed. And this dog slunk off of the couch over to get the tennis ball. She laid down on the bed, you know, looking at me. I sat down and read. What else was I going to do? Middle of the night, I'm going to read. Dog barely knows I'm alive.
Love on the dog.
Not Dolly. Right. Okay, so I'm sitting there reading, and I look up, and the dog's eyes have not moved. Staring at me, like considering this whole situation, you know? Next thing I know, I'm reading, feel something against my leg. There's the dog, looking at me, like, she kind of puts a paw up on the chair beside me to see what I will do. I do nothing. Pretty soon, Oliver is up on the chair next to me, sitting down. And before long, she puts her head on my lap while I'm reading. And I pet her a little bit on her head. And while I'm petting her, she licks my hand. And I can tell that she's pretty happy. The next thing she does totally catches me off guard. I'm just blown away. Because she's sitting up, you know, like a dog sits, you know, like an A shape, you know, with her paws next to me and her tush down. But she, like, scoots her tush right up against my leg, right? Right? I'm thinking, what is this dog doing? And she throws her front paws like this. And so she's laying there like, you could rub my belly now if you would like to. What did I do? That's right, I did. It was nice and soft, and she loved it so much. Nathan, you are just really going on. What are you doing? You're preaching a Sunday morning sermon about this dog. What's wrong with you? You know what was present in that situation when this dog was on the couch when I came down the stairs? Guilt. You know, dogs are honest and earnest. You can see every thought and emotion on their face. And it was screaming out, "Oh no, I've been caught. I'm here on the couch." Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. For only the Baptists and the Pentecostals and the Methodists have sinned. Maybe a few Episcopalians." Oh, wait, I'm sorry. "For all have sinned." All have sinned. You know what the reaction is when people come into the presence of God? Wait a minute, I was here in Sunday school. I know how this goes. No, not quite that way. But do you know what happens to people when they come into the presence of God for the first time? They feel uncomfortable. They do. They feel uncomfortable. You invite people to church and they say things like, "If I went to that church, the roof would fall down on me." I'm thinking, didn't fall down on me. Never seen it fall on anybody else. Why would it fall on you? Well, because their guilt is their own, and that's the way they feel. They don't want to risk it. Maybe they just don't want to come to church. No. Psalm 139:3 says, "Thou compassest my path and my lying down on the couch." Sorry, it doesn't say on the couch. I added that for benefit of the story here. "Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways." Even when you're not where you're supposed to be. Even when you're stretching the limits of what you know is right, God knows where you are. God knows where you were last night. God knows you where you were last year, last decade. Doesn't have to come down the stairs to see it. God knows. And what happens to people when they come face to face with a glorified God? Well, in Revelation 1:17, it says, "And when I saw him," this is the Apostle John. Now, if any man had a right to be standing in the presence of Christ who stood with him during his ministry on the earth and could stand in the presence of the glorified Savior, it would have been John. What did the Bible say of John? He was the disciple whom Jesus loved, who leaned upon his breast at the Last Supper, who was a welcome part of the inner circle. And yet, when John stands before the glorified form of Christ, what happens to him? That's right. He didn't get smashed, not like a mosquito or anything. "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last." I am the first and the last. Get up. Off the couch. And what happened to the poor dog? She didn't get off the couch and come to me. What did she do? She slunk away. Poor, pitiful little puppy. All the way across the room. Where she considered things for a little while. Psalm 139:4 says, "For there is not a word or bark in my tongue, but, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." Psalm 139:4. God knows where you are this morning. God knew who was going to be here this morning. God knew what your needs would be this morning. "Brother, I'm pretty sure I didn't need to hear about your dog." Well, God knows. Psalm 139:5-8. "Thou hast beset behind me and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge of the stairs," that was my own insertion, It's too wonderful me. It is too high. I cannot attain unto it. I'm scared of those stairs. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I go upstairs, you're there. And if I make my bed across the living room on this poor deserted dog bed, behold, thou art there. You should have seen this dog's face. Scripture says, and if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. I remember I had a brother when I was in the military. I went to church. There was this brother who was a special forces soldier, right? Well, they did all kinds of training and stuff, but he described, I don't even remember the name of the weapon system, but it was a weapon system that U.S. military employs, and it's particularly lethal. And while they were away in training, somebody had taken like a magic marker and scrawled on the side of this thing. And it said, you can run, but you'll only die tired. If this weapon system is trained upon you, there is no place and no thing that can save you. You are done. Often people come into the presence of God, they feel that condemnation, they feel that gate, the guilt, the shame, and what do? I'm going to hide. I'm going to get away. I'm going to go someplace where no Christians come around and nobody makes me feel bad about myself. David said, you can go to heaven, God's there. You can go to hell, God's there. You can go to the mountain, to the sea, anywhere you go, guess what? God's still there. And God still knows. And let me tell you, this is another thing people do. You can lay there on your bed of sin and feel sorry for yourself. You can absolutely do that. You can sit there and be miserable and begin to justify yourself. Well, I'm only a sinner because my father was a sinner. And if you knew the things that my father did, you wouldn't even begin to talk to me about being righteous. We all had earthly fathers and mothers, family, circumstances. Your sins are no different, no more special, and no more unpardonable than anybody else's sins. Now, if you want to lay there in somebody else's bed and feel sad and lonely, you can do that. Or you can draw near. I see where you're going, Nathan. Praise God. Matthew 7:7 says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock. And it shall be opened unto you. You don't have to stay alienated. You don't have to stay separated. You don't have to stay locked up in a kennel on a cold concrete floor. You may think, oh, my bed of sin is so much more comfortable than where I used to be. And that may be good enough for you. Or you can decide that where you are is not good enough and you can draw near to God. Well, what will happen when I draw near to God? James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's right, brother. I'm out here in sin. I'm laying in my bed of sin. I'm happy to be here in my sin because I'm not as bad a sinner as I used to be. So I will just wash my hands, I'll get my life right, give me some time, I'll give up this, I'll give up that, and once I'm all clean and purified, then I'll come to Christ. You'll never get clean. Enough. You can't. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart. I've heard it said, you know, people, they come to church and they come down to an altar and they dabble their toes in Christ. Just a little bit. And I want to put my test the water, so to speak. I'll just put my big toe in there because if I'm not a fan of this Jesus thing, I'll just take my foot back. I won't go all the way in. I'll just make a pretense. I'll let people think that I'm going into the Christ thing. But I, you know. I'm in church, brother. I'm as close to God as I've ever been. And this is a good thing. It's a good thing that you're here in church this morning. It really is. Being in church is not near enough to God. Being in church may please your mom and dad who brought you to church. It may please your husband or wife who expects you to go to church. It may please your father or your mother or somebody who came. I want to be seen by my sister. I don't want her to think that I fell out with God, so here I am in church. I'm pretending I'm Pastor Kerry for a Sunday so that I don't let anybody down. That's not good enough. You have to draw near to God with all of your heart. You have to desire God above everything else. More than your sin, more than your shame, more than your hurt, more than what people will think of you. So what if the church building fell down upon you? If you survive and you repent, praise God. Duck, bob, and weave. Find a happy place. I don't know how it happened, but I remember as a Baptist, a young man who went to a Baptist church, I heard somebody say one time that you had to spend 3 nights troubled before the Lord before you could come to true salvation. I heard that. Well, guess what happened before I prayed for salvation? I stayed awake worrying about going to hell for 3 nights. What if I had died? What if the Lord had returned? I remember vividly. I mean, being terrified of dying and going to hell and weeping and holding my Bible. Guess what? If you want salvation, you ain't got to wait 3 days. You ain't got to wait 3 minutes. You ain't got to wait for me to finish this sermon. You can pray where you are. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. That's Psalms 34:8. You know what? I am thoroughly convinced that if you try Christ, truly, 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 bring your heart to Christ and wash it in the blood of Jesus Christ, you will not be satisfied with anything else. Nothing else in the world can satisfy. I'm telling you this. When I got saved, when I was young, I remember feeling this unbearable lightness, and I went around telling my friends at Blue Lake Community Church, Blue Lake Elementary School just down the street there, I got saved. And you know what they did? Exactly. You're a crazy person. You Jesus freak. What's wrong with you? That's a dork. Dork is Jesus thing. A hard awakening. I thought for sure when everybody experienced what I experienced, if they could see the excitement in my voice, they would surely come to Christ themselves. Didn't quite work out that way. Guess what? If you come to Christ, you will experience that for yourself. I've heard people say, well, I've been going to church for 40 years and I never experienced that. You're missing out. You really are. That's when Christ becomes real to you. He can't be your father's God or your mother's God or your brother's God. He can't be your neighbor's God or Carrie's God or Nathan's God. He has to be your God. Because when He is, when you're not around your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, Carrie or Nathan, guess what? God's still with you. He is your God. You can't escape Him. And you can't escape Him when He's your Savior either. Lo, I'm with you always. It doesn't mean you shouldn't fly. Bridget will tell you that. It means I have to stay low when Christ is with me. No. If you get on an airplane and fly to the dark side of the moon, guess what? Christ is still there with you. Nathan, you're sweating. Just a little bit. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. This poor, lonely, pitiful pound puppy did not go and wash herself before she climbed into my lap. And let me tell you, she stank. Like a pound puppy. I was like, oh, Lord, I'm going to go to work smelling like this thing. Guess what? When you come to Christ, you have to come just as you are. You will never get clean enough that you're going to walk up to God and God's going to say, oh, look, a perfectly clean, sinless young man or woman, or old man or woman. It's not going to happen. You're going to come to Christ just as you are, and He is going to wash you. He is going to clean you. Our dog did not wash herself. She did not think, oh, I need to be washed now. I've got a home. She stank for a couple of days. The preacher took her out and washed her. Dog didn't do it for herself. When you get saved, your life will come clean. Clean the inside of a cup. What happens? Outside of the cup comes clean. That's what Christ said. If you're waiting to get your life right until you come to Christ, guess what? You're never going to come to Christ because your life will never be right. You have to come to Christ just as you are. I remember a brother one time saying, it's like fishing. You catch them, Christ cleans them. But you really can't catch anything unless Christ didn't. Christ catches them and cleans them. Just clarifying that. This dog who needed a bath desperately, she put her head in my lap anyway. But she did it tentatively, like, is this okay? You know what? When you start to move toward God, He will meet you where you are. And He's not going to chastise you. You know the words used in the Old Testament for worship? When you read like the Old Testament, it says worship. It has kind of like the same base root as a dog licking its master's hand. Ew, Nathan! That's so disgusting! You know what dogs do with their tongues? Yuck! Is that any more unclean than you were in your sin when you came to Christ? Not at all. And yet worship is likened unto a dog licking its master's hand. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Psalm 100 verse 4. Another one like unto it, Psalm 118 verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm sorry, I was singing it. That's the way the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir sings it. They sing it much better. They actually could sing. Well, I'm up here beside Christ, and I prayed for salvation, but I don't feel different. Why don't you try entering into His gates with thanksgiving in your heart? Try to do a little bit of worship. Don't be satisfied just to be sitting in church. Say, I want the Lord. People often have the attitude, and this is very true. I remember having it myself. God, pet my belly. Love me and take care of me and coddle me, and I will serve you all the days of my life. Really? God, if you will deliver me from debt. God, if you will deliver me from alcoholism. God, if you will deliver me from fornication and adultery and homosexuality, then I will serve you. You can lay there on your bed of sin waiting for a good tummy rub for a long time. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let me tell you, if you had told me a week ago that I would be rubbing the belly of a pit bull named Isis, it's a dog's name. Her name is Isis.
Was.
she answers to ISIS. You can be like talking about her in the next room or something. You say ISIS, she comes running over. So happy to see you. You couldn't have chosen a more unlikely set of circumstances that brought that dog into my companionship. But it happened. You remember my big objection to all of this was?
Not Dolly,
the expense. It wasn't just the monetary expense, although those are the arguments that I made. The emotional expense. Just buried a dog. It was really hard. I really don't want to undertake another dog that I'm going to love. I could possibly lose. That's a hard expense. Nathan, you're sweating too much. It's time to finish it. Sweating a lot, I know. And I am finishing it. Revelation 1:18 says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death and hell. Thank you. Christ willingly paid the greatest expense imaginable to redeem you. When you are lost and undone in your sin, and miserable and lonely, with all the clatter and clamor of the world around you, Christ loved you and gave himself for you. He didn't consider the expense too great. Hebrews 6:18-20. That by two immutable things in the which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Whither the forerunner has entered for us, Christ went for us, even Jesus, and made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. I did not go across the room to that poor, lonely pound puppy and coddle her on my Dolly's bed. I didn't. Mean, hard, cruel Nathan. But I could in no ways reject her when she came to me. I've often heard people say, well, if Christ can do all things, he is unlimited. He is truly a powerful God. He created the heavens and all the things of creation. He can do all of these things. Why doesn't he just take people as they are and bring them into his kingdom? He's waiting for you to come to him. He won't come and crush down the walls of your heart and bring you into his kingdom unwillingly. And nobody can bring you into it. You have to come into it yourself. Luke 15:21-24. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. End of my notes. Woohoo, look at that. I didn't even keep you all that long. But I'm not going to leave you just yet. I don't know where you are spiritually, but God does, and you do. If there is any need in your life of Christ, do not leave here this morning without accepting him, whether it's forgiveness of sin, salvation, anything that you have need of. And if you do, and you wander away thinking, well, what if I had? Remember, guess what? Christ is the same Christ, not only here at this pulpit, but out there. You know, remember I told you 3 days? I anguished and languished for 3 days, weeping and being terrified that I was going to die and go to hell. Dad, where did I get saved? It wasn't in church. It was in my living room. Finally, I was so scared, I went to my dad and said, Dad, I'm lost. Please pray with me. I want to pray for salvation. And I remember my dad taking my hand, and I don't know if he knew what to do. I mean, you know. I don't remember the words that I prayed. Probably something very similar to, Christ, come into my heart, I'm a sinner. Guess what? That's all you need to know. You don't even need to know John 3:16. If you leave out of here this morning and you find yourself in a rough situation, Christ is only a prayer away. Always. Always. And the joy that you felt when you came to Christ the first time, initially I mean, it's not irretrievable. It's not irredeemable. You've gotten to a place where you're cold and just going through the motions. You can be renewed in your salvation. I'm going to close in prayer. If you have a need from Christ, you pray now. Take this time. When I'm finished praying, consider yourself dismissed. Go and have a blessed day in the Lord. And if you got a blessing from the Lord, tell somebody. It didn't come from Nathan. It came from the Lord.